Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. You can have a seat. Today, if you want to turn your Bibles wherever you want, we'll get there eventually. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter number 10 will be the first scripture we hit today. Today, I want to talk to you about a subject called faith for the long haul. Faith for the long haul. You know, we're in the midst as a church of a fast. Some of us have been fasting, doing a 21-day fast, and just enjoying that time. Anybody enjoying your time in the fast so far? I know it's kind of weird. Like, I really like depriving myself of things that I love, Pastor. Yes. Let me raise my hand to that. But anybody hearing from God or getting some insight, some wisdom from the Holy Spirit yet as you've been fasting? See, fasting silences what's loudest in our life, our desires, so that we can press in and hear the voice of God. And so very important for us, and especially at the beginning of the year when we're taking a look at the future, we're determining, we get kind of a clean slate, don't we? And you can take a look at your year and craft and create with the Holy Spirit what you want your year to look like. And anytime we do goal setting, I noticed as I was researching and studying goal setting, that sort of a thing, that there's really three types of goals. There's the short term, takes about a day or a week, that sort of a thing. Maybe your short-term goal is, I'm going into a business meeting next week and I really want favor and I'm going to believe God for favor in that meeting. And so that would be a short-term thing, right? You can believe God for a week. You know, you can stay in there and pray and ask God for that favor and that blessing. And that's a short-term thing. Then there's midterm goals. Midterm takes you more than a week. It's probably a month long or a couple of months, maybe even up to 6 months. That's a midterm goal. You know, some of you guys might be saying, well, this year I really want to get in shape. I want to get healthy. And so my midterm goal in 6 months, I want to drop 10 pounds. I want to be eating healthy. I want to get rid of a lot of the sugars and those things that would harm my body. I want to be, you know, a lot more into the exercise thing. And I don't want to be exhausted when I go up the stairs at night and just crash in bed. I want to be able to walk those stairs or run those stairs and you know, really just get myself healthy. That would be a midterm goal. And then there are long-term goals. Long-term goals last over a year, maybe 10 years, that sort of a thing. Some of you guys might be believing God to start a business, and you're saying, you know what, I need to get my business license. I need to learn the trade a little bit more. I'm going to take a class at the community college or online, that sort of a thing. I'm going to get certified in these areas. Then I need to find a customer base. I need to get equipment. I need to get a place to run my business. I need, you know, all these things that we need, and that's a long-term thing, you know. So you could say it's going to take me a year to do the schooling. It's going to take me another year to get all my equipment. It's going to take me another year. And in the midst of that, I still have to work and still have to pay the bills and still got to take care of the family, that sort of a thing. But the long-term goal is eventually I want to be doing this full time. And that's going to be something that takes place for a long time. Now, as Christians, when we say yes to Jesus, the Bible tells us that he who endures to the end shall be saved. This is not a short-term thing. This isn't fire insurance that you pray a prayer one time and then you go out and you live however you want to live. We've got to be in it to win it. We've got to be in it for the long haul. You know, athletes train differently for a sprint than they do for a marathon. And it takes a lot longer for us to prepare our hearts and to believe God and to stay in it for the long haul, because this is not a sprint. This is not something that is just quick. This is something that God wants us to be in for a long-term goal. Many things, I would say, as we look in the Word of God, are long-term. Our faith is not just quick things all the time. And yet, I find a lot of Christians that think that God is like a slot machine. You put in a coin, you pull the lever, and down come the blessings. But I don't see that in the Bible. I see Moses over 40 years before God brings about the plan of God for his life. And then it took 40 more years of wandering in the wilderness till he had to pass it off to somebody else who was able to complete their task. And Joshua was with Moses for 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And then finally it took him the whole campaign and the conquest of Israel. See, that it takes a lifetime for things to come to pass. There are things that oftentimes when I see believers, they're believing God for things like their family, their friends to get saved. See, those are long-term goals. You can't put a timeline. I want them to be saved by this year and them to be saved by the next year. You know, if we had it up to us, they'd all be saved today, wouldn't they? Just get them in church. They'll get saved. Everything will be fine. They'll stop messing with me. And yet, what happens? You go and you preach to them and they say, don't preach to me. I changed your diapers. Don't you be talking to me like that about Jesus and all that. I know what you did last summer, right? And all of a sudden it's this big thing. I was with you when you were cool and you used to kick it. And now all of a sudden you think that you're going to come and tell me how to be good? Oh no, get out of here. And you know, a prophet is without honor except in his own country and amongst his own people. And so they're not going to listen to you. So it's a long-term thing. You got to believe God that God, will you open the door? God, will you give me the right to speak into their life. God, if it's not me, Lord, send laborers across their path who can speak into their life, who can touch them with the gospel, who can reach them with the love of Jesus. And it's something that takes place. I know many Christians who after decades and decades finally saw their family members and their friends coming into the faith. Other Christians that I know of, they died and they went to be with the Lord. And then afterwards, even years after they died, their family members finally got saved. See, for all of us, we need to understand that many things that we're going to believe God for in our lifetime, prosperity, great family, great business, great health, those sorts of things are all long-term goals. And we need to understand the principles of what faith for the long haul is really all about, because the length will determine the strength. Think about that for a second. If I only know that I have to pray for 1 week about a meeting, I'm going to put all my strength in for 1 week. The length will determine the strength. I can believe God for that week. But if I know I'm believing God for 6 months from now something's going to take place, there's a little bit more faith. There's a little bit more things that I need to do. It's going to take a little bit more time and effort and prayer and insistency, right? And consistency. But when it's something that there is no definite amount of time that's placed on it, when it's something that I don't know when it's going to happen, I'm just believing God for it. Now, all of a sudden, your faith has to cross over into a different dimension. It has to come up to a new level where it's not just this length of time or this length of time. Now, I don't even know when it's going to happen, but I've got to continue on. And if you don't know these principles that we're going to talk about today, you're going to end up giving up on the things that you're believing God for, and you will never get the blessings that God has for your life. But guess what? God wants you blessed. God wants you blessed more than you want you blessed. Did you know that? God wants you to live a prosperous and blessed life. And I'm not just talking about money, guys. I'm talking about success. I'm talking about real success. I'm talking about children growing up serving the Lord. I'm talking about a great marriage. I'm talking about influence in the community, people getting saved. I'm talking about purpose in life and your ministry, leaving an impact here on the earth for eternity. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about prosperity and blessing. And that does also include finances too. God wants to bless every area of your life. God wants you to have faith for the long haul. Today, I've got a couple of things I'm going to complete that sentence with that will show us what faith for the long haul will do. Faith for the long haul, number one, focuses on the promise rather than the present. Faith for the long haul focuses on the promise rather than the present. See, in our lives, we need to understand that when we're believing God for something, it will produce a little word in our lives called obedience. Let me describe this to you. Think about it as a journey. If you were to take a road trip, how many of you guys like road tripping, like taking off in the car, let's just drive, right? I love to do that. I love driving. My wife and my kids hate it. So I have to temper myself to not drive them crazy. I'll be like, okay, we're going to go do this. We're going to go here. This week we're going to drive. But when we do this trip, we got to fly. Even though I would love to cross the entire United States and back, I can't do that. If we're going there, we're going to take an airplane. So I have to watch myself, but I love to drive. Now, let's say you were in Los Angeles, right? And you decided you were going to take a road trip and you were going to go see Washington, D.C. Would you be getting on the 5 North? No. No, you'd be going on the 5 South, right? No. No, you'd want to get either on the 60 or the 10 East. Is that right? Everybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you guys are like, I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. All those numbers and letters are just boggling my mind right now. You want to take the 10 East, right? Because that's going to determine your direction. See, the goal will determine your direction. If I'm believing God for something, and yet I let my present circumstances govern the direction of my life, I will end up on the 5 North headed for Washington State rather than Washington, D.C. But if I take a look at the promise of God and I see where it's at, it's going to determine my direction. See, you still got to deal with the present. You still got to deal with circumstances around you. That's why when I said earlier during the praise time that we are to lift up our eyes, you cannot allow distractions and current situations to deter you from the place where you're going. If you're believing God in this area, you've got to go the direction that God has for you. You can't get caught up in the periphery and the things around you. You still have to deal with it. You still have to make decisions, but those decisions will lead you to the place that ultimately you're believing God for. Let's take a look at it in the Word of the Lord. I had you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 23. Take a look at it with me. Look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 23. It says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. See, immediate needs often will shout louder at us than our long-term goals. Let me say that again. Think about this. Immediate needs will shout louder at us than long-term goals. If the goal is to be healthy, and yet the immediate need is somebody just brought a cake to the break room at work, and I just happen to be hungry right now, my immediate needs will be shouting at me louder than the long-term goal. But look at what it says. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. See, when you have a goal, when you've determined something, faith always has an object. Let me show this to you from the Word of God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God, right? Romans chapter 10, verse number 17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You cannot believe God for something outside of His will or outside of His Word. You must, in order to have faith, be believing God for a promise that you find in the Word of God. Now you say, well, Pastor, what if my situation doesn't come in the Word of God? Well, then you have not read your Bible. Because this is no ordinary book. This is not an antiquated book filled with old stories that have no meaning for your life. In this book, you will find out every situation in life. You will find out how to prosper. You'll find out how to be blessed. You'll find out how to have a great marriage. You'll find out how to have a great business, how to raise your children. You'll find out how to deal with difficult situations. Did you know that there's rape and incest in the Bible? Did you know that there are hard things? Parents who had to turn their backs on their children for the sake of the Lord, and it was a difficult decision, and yet God still took care of them. Did you know? It tells you how to be a witness and a testimony, how to be a person of influence in your community. This will tell you how to work under a difficult boss, how to be an employee, how to be an employer, how to do leadership, how to do wisdom, how to do every area of your life, how to handle people that you don't like. It's all in here, you guys. Every situation you can ever encounter, you will find in the manual that God left for us. That is the Bible. So when you're believing God for something, find it in the Word of God. And as you find the promise of God, that's where faith comes in and takes hold of the promise of God. And you start to confess it over your life. What does that mean? You speak it out loud of your mouth. You declare the promise of God and say, I can see it in the Word. I'm going to say it out of my mouth, because the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That they believe, therefore they spoke. We also believe, and therefore we also speak. We declare the promise of God over our lives. And so when you find that, maybe you're believing God for your children to come back to the Lord. You find the promise of the book of Jeremiah that says, though they may wander, they shall return to their own borders. And you start to declare that over their lives. You start to pray. You start to believe God. And it says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. See, when we waver, when we start to shake and break apart, that is not the will of God. Remember I said that when we look to the promise, rather than to the present circumstance, it will produce obedience. That we won't waver, we won't fall off. We'll keep the faith switch turned on, if you will. Because if you give up, if you quit, you're not going to get anything from the Lord. Book of James chapter 1 says you're like a wave tossed to and fro. Let that man not suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. And yet a lot of Christians say, I tried it, I prayed, I asked God, and I got nothing. I guess that wasn't the will of God for my life. No, that's because you were looking at the present circumstances rather than looking to the promise of God and holding fast the confession of your hope. How do we know that? Because look at the last part of the verse. It says, for he who promised is what? Faithful. God's going to bring it to pass at the right time, in the right way. You say, God's not on time. He's not on your time. No, but God is always on time. He'll bring it about the right time. God knows what He's doing. He knows what He's got to move around. And your faith is that which takes a look at the things in the future. And the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let us hold fast the confession of our what? Hope. Hope is not what we see in the world. In the world, you see people, well, I hope God does something for me. Oh, I hope it happens. I really do hope that maybe God will shower some blessing on me. Listen, that's hope in the world. Hope in God is two words. I love these two words. Confident expectation. See, our hope is not like hope out there in the world where we're like, oh, I hope God's going to do something in my life. No. Our hope is I know who I asked. I know the one that promised. I know the faithfulness of God. He took care of me back there, and guess what? God's going to take care of me now. God did it for them. He's no respecter of persons. God's going to do it for me. I can confidently expect God's going to come through in my life. But you got to look to the promise rather than look to present circumstances. How much do you want it? How much do you want the long-term goal in your life? Second thing is this, faith for the long haul digs deep in a time of drought. I want you to turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 17. Right after the book of Isaiah, you'll find the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 17. Great set of verses here. I want to just give you an image, give you a picture of what the word of the Lord is talking about here. Faith for the long haul digs deep in a time of drought. We're going to take a look at two verses, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 7 and verse number 8. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 7 starts out. And look at what it says. It says, blessed. Everybody say blessed. Yes. Blessed is the man or the woman who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Now remember, hope is confident expectation. So you want to be blessed? Come on now, don't lie in church. You know you want to be blessed. Everybody wants to be blessed. Blessed is the man or the woman who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. How does this work? Well, look at verse number 8. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. I want you guys just to go with me in your imagination outside for a second. And I want you to picture your favorite fruit tree. Okay, you got it in your mind? Now picture your favorite fruit tree planted next to a river. Okay, how beautiful is that? You got that picture in your mind? It's sweeping landscape, right? You got the mountains in the background, right? The river's coming down from the snow melt up there. Oh, it's gorgeous. You got birds chirping. They're flying up, right? You got little bushy-tailed gray squirrels running around playing with each other. You got grass. You know you got grass around. It's beautiful, right? Green, lush, puffy clouds in the sky. Okay, everybody's got it. Nice warm day, and there's fruit all over that tree. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. Take a look at the roots of that tree for a second in your imagination. Okay, I want you to picture them putting the roots down into the river. There's little fish swimming around the roots. It's gorgeous, isn't it? Water's rushing by. You can hear the sound trickling by. And will not fear when heat comes. Uh-oh. What just happened in your mind? All of a sudden, the heat came, right? The sun got harsh. The clouds have now burned up. They're gone. And all of a sudden, that grass, that beautiful green grass that you had all the way around your tree, it started to turn brown. You got that picture? All the snow has melted off the mountains. Why? Because the heat came. Now those mountains are bare. They're brown. It's starting to turn hot. Look at what it says. Will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought. What happens when there's a drought? It dries up, right? Your river is gone. Okay, picture your fruit tree sitting by a dried up river. There's no grass, there's no birds, there's no clouds, there's no squirrels, there's no fish, there's no nothing. It's all dirt, it's all dry, but your tree still has a green leaf on it. And look at the last part of this verse. It says in verse number 8, right at the end, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Why can it do that? Here's the reason why. It planted its roots by the streams of water. And when the water on the surface is gone, how many of you know that there is still something going on underneath the surface? See, it's not what the surface level that counts for anything. It's what's happening in the unseen realm. Deep beneath the surface, that's where the work is done. And when there is a drought, when there's no water, if that tree will dig its roots down deep, it will strike water and it will be able to continue to be green and it will be able to continue to produce fruit. Okay, let me give you a different illustration of this. Think about a boat for a second. A sailboat, right? Beautiful, big sails, wind is pushing at it. It's being taken on the water. Now, what's to stop that boat when it starts heeling? Heeling is the process by which when the wind pushes it, that sail starts to tilt over. You ever seen a boat on the water tilted like this? Okay, what it's doing is called heeling. And it heels and it turns over. What's to stop the wind from just pushing that straight over? See, it's what's going on underneath the water level, deep beneath the water line that counts. If you got a boat with holes in the hull, that thing's gonna sink, number one. But secondly, what they do on sailboats especially is they put a counterweight on what's called the keel. I already said heel, that's turning this way. The keel is the bottom of the boat. And they have a ballast underneath, or a big fin, it looks like a shark's fin that's upside down, right, on the bottom of the boat. And they will fill that with either lead or cement. Sometimes they'll fill it with water. Sometimes they'll have a bubble at the bottom of that. And what that does is it provides a counterweight so that when the pressure hits that sail and it starts to tilt that boat, the weight down beneath is what holds that boat steady, and it's able to continue to propel it forward. It's no different in your life. See, when the heat comes, when the water dries up, when the pressure starts to be applied to your life, what you have done in the secret place is what's going to hold you strong and steady. See, when there's a drought, when there is no water, when it's not easy any longer to believe God, when you don't have the fresh word any longer, and when it seems like something's just dried up in your life, and now the pressure is hitting your life, it's that prayer time. It's that time in your closet with God. It's that time when you were crying in the shower. It's the time when you were reading the word that morning. It's the time when you got in church and you started to lift your hands and sing and praise God, and you felt the presence of God touch your life. See, it's what you do on the inside, deep beneath the surface, that counts. You will be stronger, and you will be held together, and you'll be able to continue to go forward in the things of God. We have a great couple in our church. In fact, they're sitting right here on the front row, BC and Kike. Would you just wave at everybody right now? This is a beautiful couple, and they're a wonderful part of our church. How long have you guys been coming to The Rock? 22 years they've been at The Rock. In fact, BC and I, we used to work on the maintenance team at the old building together, all right? We donned the green shirts, and we loved working together alongside one another, and I just love my brother BC, and I love Kike. They're both wonderful people. They recorded a testimony just for you. Watch what happened in their lives. Check it out.
Hi, I'm Dr. Vanessa Reynolds, and I'd like to share a testimony this morning that's a great miracle. And I have here BC and his wife Kike.
In December of 2016, I was having this heaviness and fatigue. Mm-hmm. So we went to see our doctor who did all the labs, and he called me the same day or following day that my blood count was so low that mm-hmm. it was a miracle. I was walking around the surface of the earth. I should mm-hmm. be gone. That same night, he called me. He said, "Don't, wherever you are now, leave everything, go to the hospital." Mm-hmm. We didn't know what was happening. This time,
No one had explained anything to you.
They didn't even know what was it. They didn't know it was cancer. Mm-hmm. I was shocked in a way, but the peace of God came. Mm-hmm. I wasn't afraid mm-hmm. because the word of God came by. He took my infirmity. He bore my sicknesses.
He's already paid the price.
He's already paid for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In his own body on the tree. Mm-hmm. By his stripes that I am healed. But this pain came. I've never seen anything like that. It was like grinding. I couldn't sit. I couldn't stand. I could not walk. Mm-hmm. So finally we went to the hospital to see the doctor.
Yes.
And he conducted tests. And he said, it was the cancer that was eating my bones. Mm-hmm. As soon as I say, it would give me pain medication that will help, that I should be taking every four mm-hmm. hours. But as soon as he said that, the word of God came, mm-hmm. the word of knowledge that I should bind the spirit of pain mm-hmm. and cast it out.
Amen.
And I smiled because I know the word of knowledge. Mm-hmm. I know it always works like medicine. Mm-hmm. Up to today, the pain, I never felt any pain through my
That's true. So the Lord said, bind the spirit of pain from that day forward, despite what chemotherapy usually causes, you didn't have any pain. And multiple myeloma can be a very painful disease because it's taking, you have lesions they see on the MRI and the CT, big holes in your bone, elevated calcium levels that come from your bone, and big holes that cause you to be in a lot of pain, but you didn't have pain.
I didn't have any pain.
So you went through the 4 months of chemotherapy with no pain and no symptoms, where other people that you had gotten to know were severely ill. But you still had high M levels and you still had the disease.
It was not gone yet.
Uh-huh. And so what, they decided to do a bone marrow transplant, is that correct?
I'm going to need a donor. Then the word of God just gave me a word that in my own body regenerate its own cells. I went to the hospital.
Loma Linda.
On January 4th.
January 4th.
2017.
2017.
Yes.
And then I got to the office. The doctor came, he said, "I hope nobody has told me." I said, "What?
Tell me
nobody
what?
Tell me what?" The report has come that is very positive.
This report looks like there is no evidence in your bone marrow that you no longer have any signs of multiple myeloma. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Is that what the doctor told you?
That's what he told us.
Okay, and there's no elevation of your M protein on this report. Mm-hmm. So what's he saying now? Are you healed?
He said, "Yes, I am healed."
Every step of the way, the Lord was faithful to his word.
Yes.
You held fast to the word of God, confessing it,
yes,
meditating.
Yes.
Yeah. On the word.
Yes.
Then it went from here, it
yes
dropped down
yes
to your spirit, and then you start to declare it,
yes,
mm-hmm, and then you believe it,
and then you
have it.
Because faith comes
yeah
by hearing,
yeah,
and hearing, and hearing,
and then we have it.
Yes,
yes.
And we praise God that BC is healed,
yes,
that his family is stronger because
yes
of it,
yes,
and we pray, just like the word that he gave Kike, that you know, this glorifies him.
Amen.
That it's a blessing to
amen
other people that hear
amen
the testimony,
yes,
and we give all honor and all glory to
yes
our Father, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
amen.
Jesus.
Amen. BC, we rejoice with you, my brother, and that cancer is not coming back in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I love that. You heard what Dr. Vanessa said, and Dr. Vanessa is an ER doctor for many years, and that's why we had her up there reading all those reports, was to confirm the reports that the doctors gave BC, and that just showed that these are this could have been a very painful disease. It could have been something, and that's a long process to go through. You know, the testimony was 4 minutes long, but it took them years to walk through and to live out. That's faith for the long haul, where you dig deep into the Word of God, receiving that knowledge that God has, confessing it over your life, and not letting us up, just staying after it with tenacity, that what God spoke, he's also able to perform, and God will do it in your life. Listen, guys, God is no respecter of persons. If he can do it for BC, how much more can God do in your life? Come on. Come on. Are you believing God for something? Last thing is this. Last thing is this, is that faith for the long haul outlasts and overcomes all obstacles. Just like you saw in the testimony, just like you've seen throughout what we're talking about, any turn in the road, any bump in the road, any obstacle that comes your way, faith for the long haul will outlast and will overcome every obstacle. Doesn't matter how long it takes, God is going to come through. God will do it because he is faithful to his word, and he is not a man that he should lie. God is the one who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And those things which he has spoken, those things which he's declared, those promises that you can find in the word of God, if you will hang on to them and have faith for the long haul, God is going to perform his word, because he will not become a liar. He will not give up his throne. He's not going to go away on account of the fact that you didn't get what you were believing him for. God will bring it to pass in your life, but you got to stay after it with your faith switch on with God. Take a look at what the word of the Lord has to say. In Isaiah chapter number 40, you're there in Jeremiah, turn one book back to Isaiah chapter number 40. The last verse in Isaiah chapter 40 is verse number 31. I want you to take a look at this with me. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 31, it says these words, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint." You know, in the natural, when we're believing God for a long time, and when the battle gets fierce, when the promise tarries and we're waiting and waiting and waiting, it can be easy to give up. It can be easy to get discouraged. It can be easy to quit. And yet God is saying, "I want you to hold on." You don't know if the day that you gave up, that next day the blessing was coming. And that's why it's so important for us not to let up on God. God has not let up on you. And if you've abandoned your promise, if you've gotten rid of your faith, if you've walked away from things saying, "I guess it's just not God's will for my life to be healed. I guess God is doing that for everybody else but me. I guess it's not God's plan for me to have a great marriage. I guess God just doesn't really want me to prosper and be blessed." Listen, it's time to go back to where you set that thing down and pick it back up, because God has not given up on his word. God has not given up on you. God wants you to outlast and overcome all the obstacles that are in the way of your blessing. Pastor Jim, our founding pastor, said these words. He says, what we are today is because we outlasted the problems of yesterday. Don't you think over the 30 years that this church has been going that there have been opportunities for us to say, let's just shut it down. Let's just stop. Let's just quit. I mean, if you listen to some of the guys that have been around here for a long time, they'll tell you the stories. Mignon's right here on the front row. Mignon just retired from the Rock Church World Outreach Center, her employment, but she's still coming to church and we love her so much. But Mignon, you were at the meeting at Jinx Lake, right? They went up to Jinx Lake and they were getting ready to shut down the church because they were so far behind on their bills. You want to know how far behind they were on their bills? $12,000. Last November, we were $100,000 behind, and we're still here. Come on, guys. We're still here. We haven't missed a payment. We've been wise stewards. Why? Because our faith was that this is a God thing. God is in this. We're not stopping. We're not quitting. And what we are today is because we outlasted the problems of yesterday. Guys, hold on a little longer. The storm may be raging right now, but there's a clearing up ahead, and God wants to do some great and mighty things in your life. In his book, Holy Sweat, Tim Hansel writes this about a man named Clarence Jordan. It says, Clarence Jordan was a man of unusual abilities and commitment. He had two PhDs, one in agriculture and one in Greek and Hebrew. That's quite a combination, isn't it? So gifted was he could have chosen to do anything he wanted. He chose to serve the poor. In the 1940s, he founded a farm in Americus, Georgia, and called it Koinonia Farm. It was a community for poor whites and poor blacks. As you might guess, such an idea did not go over well in the deep south of the 40s. Ironically, much of the resistance came from good church people who followed the laws of segregation as much as other folk in town. The town people tried everything to stop Clarence. They tried boycotting him, slashing workers' tires when they came to town. Over and over for 14 years, they tried to stop him. Finally, in 1954, the Ku Klux Klan had enough of Clarence Jordan, so they decided to get rid of him once and for all. They came one night with guns and torches and set fire to every building on Koinonia Farm but Clarence's home, which they riddled with bullets. They chased off all the family except one black family, which refused to leave. Clarence recognized the voices of many of the Klansmen, and as you might guess, some of them were the church people. Another was the local newspaper's reporter. The next day, the reporter came out to see what remained of the farm. The rubble still smoldered and the land was scorched, but he found Clarence in the field, hoeing and planting. I came out to do a story on the tragedy of your farm closing. Clarence just kept on hoeing and planting. The reporter kept prodding, kept poking, trying to get a rise from this quietly determined man who seemed to be planting instead of packing his bags. So finally, the reporter said in a haughty voice, well, Dr. Jordan, you got two of them PhDs and you're but 14 years into this farm and there's nothing left of it all. Just how successful do you think you've been? Clarence stopped hoeing, turned towards the reporter with his penetrating blue eyes and said quietly but firmly, about as successful as the cross. Sir, I don't think you understand us. What we are about is not success, but faithfulness. We're staying. Good day. Beginning that day, Clarence and his companions rebuilt Koinonia Farm, and it's going strong to this day. I looked up Koinonia Farm on the internet, and this year is their 75th year, and they're still going strong. Guys, what do you believe in God for this year? What do you believe in God for in your lifetime? Lift up your eyes to the Lord, because God doesn't want just a short-term Christian who only believes him for the short term, but can't believe him and stay in it to win it for the long haul. God wants us to have long-term faith. What does faith for the long haul do? Faith for the long haul, number one, looks to the promise rather than to the present circumstances. Number two, faith for the long haul digs deep, just like BC did, digs deep in a time of drought. And faith for the long haul does what? It outlasts and overcomes all obstacles. If you guys got something for the Lord today, come on, give God a great big praise. Hallelujah!
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.